Nobody brought up the specter of the funniest guest coach appearance.
Tommy Tuberville?
Tanned, rested, and ready. No, no. We got Tommy Bowden. Go back to a Bowden.
Man.
God, that'll be so fucking cool.
Server thinking about bitch mentality era Tommy Bowden.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm just like, I'm thinking of what lucky team gets to go 7-5 every fucking year and then go 9-3 to give him a contract extension.
The great thing would be Tommy Bowden getting that job for one game just for fun, and he still is like, well, we're playing it safe, fellas. Yeah.
He's kicking a field goal from his opponent's 38.
Down 25. He's like, point.
We're gonna start a 2 QB system here.
We need to get points on the board. That's what we had to do.
Can I just go out there as a proxy sim of an AI Pat Dye?
Yes.
Right? Pat Dye, D-A-I, and just go out there and be like, we're gonna put it all out there, we're gonna lay it on the line. Boys, and that's why I'm kicking 3 field goals from inside the 10. That's what I'm doing. I need you to go hog wild out there, and that's why I'm going to run all 3 downs and then punt. That's what we're doing.
Pat died. Pants or no?
No pants.
Okay.
No pants.
Yeah, let's check him.
Tommy Bowden seems like he changes pants between the halves. These are my second half pants.
What, moisture or superstition?
Neither.
Okay.
Pleats.
I'm just not sure why.
These pleats are worn out. It's time for fresh pleats.
Damn, I got to be sharp in a second.
I can't be seen like this.
He's pleat powered.
What if my accountant drops by? I can't not have fresh pleats.
I'm going to look poor.
Are any of these men divorced now? Or are they possibly looking for like 50-something divorcees in the stands?
Did somebody say 50-something divorcees?
Dana, stay out of this.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Oh, shit. Speaking of divorcees, I forgot to tell y'all about my new neighbor. Okay, so everybody's been here but Ryan. So new house, Ryan backs up to a ravine.
Is this the Celine Dion thing?
Shit, I told you.
Yeah.
I didn't tell Jason or Server.
Yeah. You told us that they've been playing it really loud.
Okay, we're up to 4 nights now.
Yes.
We're up to 4 nights of, I have to tell the listener, you can't see any of the houses behind my house because there's real thick woods, but you can hear sometimes, and on 4 separate nights, beginning with, it's all coming back to me now, there is somebody in this neighborhood who is going out in the back of their house and just blasting all Celine Dion, all like 90s, early aughts cuts. And
the choice nugs.
Nothing else. And now my question is like, do I play Celine back?
Yeah.
Do I start a dialogue here?
We have to. The Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Thank you for the round of applause, Ryan Nanny.
Smooth.
Yeah.
You broke your foot off into it, and I appreciate it.
Put my whole foot into that, and now it's stuck. Someone please help me get it out.
I just got short legs.
Ryan, it's true. It's because I got little short legs like a Lego man just out here. Kicking people and moving in, you know, stop motion animation style. Ryan, how are things in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee?
Well, my 5-year-old asked me a question that I didn't know how to answer just a couple nights ago. This was without any context. Like, maybe we had looked at a map in the last week or something, but we weren't talking about the subject. She sits up and looks at me and she says, "Is Cincinnati really in Ohio?" And I didn't know what to say because the answer is, like, kind of, but also not really.
But, like, how does she know how Kentucky this is?
I don't know.
Is this a child's instinct?
I think it might. I think it might be.
That's a little terrifying.
She's driven through Cincinnati once, but it's not like we spent any time there. And it's like, you know, her context for Cincinnati is very limited. To this, she might subscribe to Action Cookbook's newsletter. I can't promise that that's not the case. But I don't know. What do you say to that?
This is evidence in favor of the case that Cincinnati's in Kentucky, because this is an independent third party who has come to the conclusion on her own.
Sure.
Mouths of babes. Riverbanks are full of lies.
I think it is very useful in it, that she already has a foundation for the kind of, you know, borderland states and, you know, liminal geographic spaces that are border towns like Cincinnati.
Right.
I think that's good. She's already there. Some people have to be taught that concept. She fully understands that Cincinnati is neither fish nor fowl, neither Ohio nor Kentucky, but instead the hybridized beast of both.
The lungfish of cities.
It is a total lungfish of cities because, and I say this, by the way, as somebody who was raised in Nashville, which I feel like has a little bit of Midwest poisoning, like at times, you get stuck between the lunacy of being Southern and the like crushing mundanity of being Midwestern. So I get like, you know, 15% of that. It's got to be overpowering in Cincinnati. They don't know. Think about this. They don't know how to be crazy. They don't. They have two different varieties of crazy. That's two gears that they have to consider all the time. I'm now thinking that she's discovered something that most of us take years to learn.
Hey, Ryan, while we're on the subject, congratulations are in order for getting both of your children out of the house
on work day
for the first time ever. How do you feel?
It's amazing. Being by yourself, having kids is great, and having them not be with you for long stretches of time rules. It's good for this is not just me selfishly saying that. My kids are much happier when they don't have to spend all that time with me. Nobody wants to do that.
No, you've got multiple other parents on this call. I don't think anybody would begrudge you this sensation.
There's a diminishing return to parental contact. I don't know how many hours it takes, but there's the rising peak, right? The rising slope. If you go up, up, up to like dad rules, and then all of a sudden, dad has to tell you to brush your teeth or some shit. And then
This is why the Swiss Family Robinson was so obviously fiction. Like, 2 months into it, they'd be like, I gotta get in my own fucking treehouse. I don't care how bad it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, great movie because it does point out that if you leave Europeans long enough, they will start making weapons for no reason. They'll just start making... Think about it. Swiss Family Robinson, they were so ready. They were like, oh, someone coming for us? Oh, looks like I'll have to make a knife! A coconut bomb!
Wait, did you say coconut bong or coconut bomb? Because either one is funny.
Just the Swiss Family Robinson up there getting housed off some Chiba. Oh, yeah, I'm never going back to Lucerne.
Trademark. That's trademark. Never. That's ours.
Yeah, that's it. Please get the full cast exclusive strain of marijuana that is Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, we never thought of that.
Yeah, coconut bomb is the second strain. And
consider Arizona Stank. What would you call?
And Tactical Great Dane. Tactical Great Dane is the third one. I wanted to say this that the longest Serena Williams and the Vanity Fair piece where she announces her impending retirement.
No, we need to set this up better.
Yeah, I there is a setup here. The longest that she has been away from Olympia is like, I want to say 24
she
hours.
Said there was one 24-hour period in 5 years where she had been away from her daughter. Yeah.
Is Serena Williams a better parent than either of us? Because like it was longer than that by the time of five. Like
And I have no problem. There is nothing you could put on the table and say, "Hey, Serena's better at this than you. How do you feel?" Where I would feel bad if you were like, "Serena's better at being Ryan Nanny than you are." I'd be like, "Great, she should take that from me. Yeah. That's fine."
Yeah, she's retiring now, so she'll have free time. We need to talk about, okay, how many of you have seen / not seen Serena's retirement announcement?
I've seen it.
Ryan, Serber, Jason?
I'm aware of it, but no. I haven't.
Oh, good. So do you guys recall when we were talking about, in one of the many occasions, when we were talking about Garth Brooks's Garth Channel on Sirius XM, in the interstitials, where Garth would say things like, memorably, you know, he would talk up the artist that he was playing and how much he loved them, but also he would maybe inadvertently, maybe not inadvertently, stunt on people he had no business stunting on. Like, he would pull up the original I Would Always Love You and say things like, I'm quoting here, that Dolly Parton, what a talent. As though he had discovered her.
Yeah.
Okay, so Serena Garth Brooks'd her own retirement announcement, because I found out about this on Twitter this morning when I saw Serena post an article that said, a must read. Like, you know, it's, which, you know, is a thing that gets said a lot by a lot of serious people on Twitter. And it's a must read with a period. And it goes to Vogue, where Serena is announcing her retirement in Vogue. By covering Vogue, she brought her daughter onto the cover of Vogue in a foldout. She wrote the story herself. She said a must read and dropped her own Vogue profile.
Yeah.
And I could not love her more if she were my own mother. I'm in awe.
Better than me at everything. At literally everything. And it's fine.
She might pretend to be bad at, like, some specific, you know, like Smash Brothers or something just, but she's secretly really good at it. She just doesn't want you to feel awkward.
Except
it's Serena, so she would beat you.
I bet she is bad at Smash Brothers. I bet she's bad at Smash Brothers because you have to be, in order to do what she has done and be the best tennis player ever, you have to study technique. And there is no technique in Smash Brothers. There's none. The person whose fingers mash the buttons fastest wins.
That's not really true, but okay.
It is totally true.
I think it is the kind of game that is going to frustrate a person who perceives logic and order and reason.
Imagine Roger Federer
surely she does on the tennis court. I also think that she's married to the Reddit man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all that guy brings to the table is Smash Brothers skill.
Yeah,
we have wondered that for years.
Together, they're good at everything.
I'm glad that she has this little pocket-sized attaché who can hold her purse. I respect her choices, even the weird ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, dropping the A must read to your own Vogue column announcing your retirement in Balenciaga on a beautiful beach with your beautiful daughter. I mean, my God, what a talent.
Do it, Kirk Ferentz. Do the same shit. Do the exact same shit.
Do it.
Also, we always have a little... Listen, and if you go through, it's not even name-dropping if you're Serena Williams, but having recently witnessed some Rory McIlroy misfortune, let's call it, it's always very funny to be reminded that Serena and Caroline Wozniacki are best friends. Like, can you imagine something more excruciating than the knowledge that every time you fuck up professionally, which is on television, Serena Williams is cackling with your ex in a group text somewhere.
So Marlon Brando, whenever he did interviews, would inevitably say the following phrase during a late night interview, and it was this: my close friend Ben Gazzara. Like, he would always say like official close best friend Ben Gazzara. And I was reading this piece and I love it because I was like, at one point I bet she's gonna be like, my bestie Carolyn Wozniacki. And I looked down and it's like, Carolyn Wozniacki, comma, one of my best friends.
No, but
comma.
Like, no, but for real, they like go on vacation.
Right,
they're
right,
like,
right.
They're like besties.
I want that. Yeah. I want to be able to just drop that kind of, like, I think I need to appoint a specific person.
We should pick
real or imagined, right?
Roger
who is
Sherman.
My...
Who ran into the ground in a period of a few months would do this all the fucking time, by the way. But it would be like weirdly specific people from the 90s and he wasn't friends with them. He would be like, you know, I said this to Ben Kingsley in Con in 1996. I'm like, were you really?
Yeah, he wasn't listening, but I said it, and it's pretty important and relevant to this discussion.
You could get Chuck Amato, I bet.
My close personal friend, Chuck Amato.
What if you pick somebody who has a famous person who has like the same last name as yours, and you just drop the like, no relation.
Anthony Michael Hall?
You know, my close friend Anthony Michael Hall, no relation.
So, you know, I was having a cup of coffee with my close personal friend, Taylor Hicks, and...
Oh, Jesus, that hurt.
Yeah.
That actually curdled my stomach. I can feel it.
I was speaking with Randy Orton, my close personal friend.
Yeah. My spiritual advice. What if you, like, make an implication that they're, like, your pastor?
My Svengali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I'm going to really have to make
like
a careful
guru,
choice
but
there.
Without saying guru, right?
Yeah. Or maybe I should just say I'm friends with Dabo. That's it. Like, so I was speaking with Dabo the other day. You know,
but
close
never make clear that it's Dabo Swinney.
I never said it was Dabo Swinney.
Dabs, right. Sometimes that's I call him
Dabney Coleman, actually.
Yeah. Ryan, how are you younger me and you make older references? It is amazing.
Because I'm so tired.
Ryan has an old soul, and I think we all agree yours is fairly unbaked.
I think you have watched more premium, pre-digital HBO than any human being on the planet, with my guess.
Oh, you ready to fight about... That
Cloak
is
and,
true.
I know you've seen Cloak and Dagger. 100%. I know you've seen Cloak and Dagger like 100
times. Ryan, how many episodes of Early Edition can you describe back-to-back for us right now?
I'm not going to do that.
You didn't
I am not a party animal, all right? I'm not some sort of magic ape.
Do not put a quarter in me and expect a Dabney Coleman reference to come
what
out.
What in the Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane do you expect from me here?
But yeah, I'm going to start doing that with Dabo. I think just that. Like Dabs and I, we were, you know, at the lake because he's got a place up there. You do things like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's at the lake, you know, the lake.
That lake was Lake Como.
It is.
Not a funny. Yeah, me and Dabo, we went to see George and Amal. Oh, the twins. They're getting so big.
They're massive. They're just huge.
You can't describe George Clooney's twins as massive.
Massive, powerful children.
Although that would be very
giants.
Funny.
Please stop praying for them.
If he gave birth to a pair of ungovernable small gods.
George Clooney and
Why
his two iron giants.
Birth?
Yeah, he gave
birth. Because he did. They Fair burst enough. From his forehead.
Oh, that's what happened in Syriana. Okay. Yeah. That's a deep cut, kids. Ask your parents.
I think with this... feigning to be friends with Dabo thing, you got to do the actor thing where they refer to Robert De Niro as Bobby if they know him.
Yes.
So Bobby. What you need to do is call Dabo, not Dabo, but William, his birth name.
There we go.
Bill. Can I call him Bill? Billy.
No.
Billy.
No, the more formal and the more opposite of Dabo, the more you actually are the one who knows him.
You are the closest.
You know, and I said to him, Robert.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, right. You know, I do him the courtesy of taking him seriously.
I think this also implies you have known Dabo since before he became Dabo. Like, you mm-hmm. knew him in 1974.
Mm-hmm. You delivered
the case
him.
Maybe. When I delivered William.
When I caught him.
I've watched him grow. From
you know, when I conceived
little...
William.
I have invented a new Christian grift.
Oh, good. We were lacking for them.
Birthing suite with a water slide in it so that your baby is baptized by the time it reaches the father's hands.
Love it.
Like, you remember Crocodile Mile with the little water curtain?
Sure.
This is immersion Catholicism.
Yeah, just prop that. Listen, that has never been tried before. Mm-hmm. That definitely didn't go badly. Just prop it right up at the cervix and the baby just goes shoo. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have
we could even call it the Crocodile Mile.
Can I just?
Because Moses and the bulrushes, right?
You're going to have a Baptist uprising here.
Yeah.
Zipping, lips, and moving on. Clap.
Listen, I was going to say, from somebody raised Catholic, it's about time they stood up and did something at service.
All right.
Sitters.
Do you want to tell the word? Are we telling the egg story or are we moving on to the game?
Egg story. We don't even need a segue.
We don't need
for this.
No, we can't do a. We don't need a lead in. 1, 2, 3, 4. We love the Marine Corps when they're off duty.
Yes. So this comes to us from.
Can we get a Marine sponsorship?
Let me read the correspondent's name, which I absolutely love. And this the correspondent's name, covering Greece, is Constantine Atlamazoglu. I'm sure I slaughtered that last name, but not like the Marines slaughtering
the
entire meat and egg reserves of a small Greek port city. That's right.
Why is the egg part funnier?
The egg part's funnier because protein, bro. That's it. So at the Greek port of Alexandropoli in late May, U.S. sailors and Marines visited as part of an exercise. And once the amphibious transport ship Arlington arrived, 1,500 officers and enlisted Marines spent 3 days in the northeastern Greek city. And during their stay, per GreekReporter.com, A site I didn't know existed, but now need.
I thought this was a person's name.
Greek Report.
It's with a K, so that's how you know. Yeah.
So Debo and I were hanging out with our close friend, GreekReporter.com, and they ate thousands of eggs from local restaurants. One tavern owner said 6,000 to 7,000 eggs were needed to serve 1,500 officers and enlisted men. In other words, said the owner.
I don't know why this is funny, but it's hysterical to me when you bring the eggs into it.
Said the owner, Georgios Alavantis, we don't have eggs! The Marines also consume substantial quantities of red meat, were enamored with the local cuisine and the relatively low prices of their meals. Thank you, EU financial crisis.
Cheap eggs for troops.
Cheap Greeks got that cheap protein, man.
That's a presidential slogan right there. A strong cheap dollar needs for cheap eggs.
I'm on that 300 workout. What does that mean? What does that mean? I go to Greece and eat cheap food.
And I eat 300 eggs.
Like a reverse Birdo.
Because you know, for the Marines, it's a concern. They're on that ship. They're on that flight. Like, man, I can't get enough canned tuna. Like, I'm really worried about it. I'm only getting 80 grams of protein a day,
That's
bro.
That's why they were going this after just, the koi.
It ain't enough. I need, like, I keep pounding. All of a sudden, Alexandropoli comes into view, and they see Greek restaurants that will give you a gigantic shank of lamb and three eggs for, like, $4.
Think of the farts.
Oh,
think
yeah.
of the farts after 6,000 eggs get eaten.
Also, listen, these are like these are mostly young guys on leave. They're going to the Greek equivalent of Huddle House, right?
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, correct. They're not trying. Ooh, hey, let's find out the artisanal place that's up the hill. And there's a guy who raises his own. He's like, nah, man, they're piling into the first open door, being like, eggs. Eggs, give me eggs.
Oh, open Google Maps. Cheap eggs. Sort my distance.
Cheap eggs near me.
Do you want the recommended cheap egg place?
No.
Oh, fuck it. Location.
No.
Fuck that.
Open closest. Now. Open closest. Now. Closest.
Open longest. I'm going to be there a while.
I am opening Uber Eats and Alexandropoli to bring me more eggs while
Uber
I'm eating eggs.
Eggs
at a first.
Uber eggs. Uber eggs.
Insta eggs. Bring eggs to the egg restaurant. I have wiped it out.
You know, they're sleeping in those bunks that are about a foot and a half from each other with very little clearance. Man, that has
got
to be like sleeping in the wake of a jet engine.
They
like,
got gas just, masks, right?
Mm. Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm. Sleeping in my gear. But yes, Jonesy.
Anyway, thank you for indulging that detour. I have not been able to dislodge this from my skull.
Jonesy, we ate all the eggs in Alexandropoli. Sick.
I'm sorry to bring this up again, but call the Admiral. Tell him it happened again.
I'm glad that the Marines are Washington State fans, but for food.
I was just thinking about that.
You come to Alexandropoli. You eat my eggs. You make love to my wife and your son. We're open-minded.
Win in Greece.
Yeah, this is yet another story of Marines doing Marine things.
We love them.
Do you guys want
eggs?
Speaking of eggs. I forget where we were going.
That's an alley-oop pass. Just catch it however you want.
I was going to say
speaking of orbs.
Speaking of orbs and punting, I don't know.
Speaking of fucking Marines.
The Iowa Hawkeyes are troops, and I just wanted to point out that for those of you disrespecting the Iowa Hawkeyes,
never.
Which you consistently do year in, year out, making fun of their wholesome, old-school offensive ways.
Making fun
mocking,
of their 8-5 record.
Mocking their 8-5 record, mocking the consistency of the Iowa program to produce and punch well above its weight.
Did you say punt well above their weight? I agree.
I'm not mocking their 8-5 record. I enjoy it.
America craves the Hawkeyes. And you know what? You're going to get more of it, despite what the coaches poll said, because somehow the disrespect continues to happen for the Iowa Hawkeyes, because in the coaches poll, the first edition of the 2022 coaches poll, Iowa is unranked.
That how is that what the eye goes to for you? You were on alert.
He's a deeply broken man. He's
you were on alert for Iowa disrespect today.
Mm-hmm. I am. I'm on alert all the time for.
Is
Iowa
it because they're 26th?
I have a series of
they are
questions.
26th.
So that's the problem.
Right there. Oh,
okay. Hey, that's so, Tennessee spot. That's put them back.
No, Tennessee.
Put my Tennessee eggs back.
Tennessee is 28th.
Mm. Okay. No, I hadn't actually looked. Thank you. That's very comforting.
Holly, you definitely sensed where your program was.
That's the only place where they're comfortable. Like, I need to be able to see them, but they need to not have a number that matters.
Who is 25th?
Houston. So
I can't be that mad at that.
So Spencer, you have become angry at Houston. Look at the shoot you've worked yourself into.
Listen, all I'm saying, I'm mad at every single one of those teams, 25 through 1, all of them on notice.
Okay.
Come to Kinnick on a late night in November when you've suffered a lot of injuries.
If you don't want
it's cold and you're due for 5 turnovers.
If you get out alive. 10% chance of an ass kicking.
10
because one of the 10 of you will lose. Ryan, Kentucky and Cincinnati are ranked right next to each other. It's a little suspicious.
Man, I thought you said ripe. And I was like, oh, they are. But I didn't really know what I meant by that.
Kentucky's ripe.
Can I give you my favorite ranking from the coaches' poll? And that is it. And that would be number 13, NC State.
Yeah.
That feels that's about as high that as that's like going. Why does
that feel like a jinx? Because it's the words NC State.
NC State this year, I'm excited because this is a year in which they have the same number of first-round draft picks and losses. Call it 4. Mm-hmm. We get one of those every few years with NC State.
Is that an eclipse? Is that a
I don't know. We need a name for it, though. It happens so frequently.
The really mean part about this is that the first month of their schedule, they do play East Carolina on the road, and they play Texas Tech, which, sure, maybe that's a thing, but then they also play Charleston Southern and UConn. So the possibility that we're like top 7 NC State is there, and it's going to make the finishing unranked NC State so much more painful.
I think my favorite ranking in here is Pitt coasting off name brand value, losing all their best players, still showing up number 16 ahead of Texas.
Serious question. How much are we responsible for propping this up? And I mean the 4 of us.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. A little.
Yeah. A grateful nation says thanks.
So, now that we have a preseason poll, that means we can start thinking about the postseason because that's the only thing.
You're absolutely right.
Get this season shit out of my sight.
That's right. The season is merely an impediment to the important 14 playoff, the only thing that matters.
I only care about 3 games. Specifically, which teams are playing in them.
Truthfully, I only care about 2 of them because one of them I'm going to hate. I have devised a new game this year for the 3 of you,
yes,
by which you will select with your own hand and the random chance of fate your 4 playoff teams. So what I have done is I have used the traditional D&D alignment scale, good to evil, lawful to chaotic, and evil. I have sorted all 130 FBS teams on this metric based on their statistics from 2021. I'm going to tell you how this works so you know generally what you're getting into, but I'm not going to give you a ton of detail. So, a good team has fewer penalty yards per game, has a very good record against the spread. Just I ranked them all by their record against the spread. Their winning percentage against the spread. So the worse it is, the more evil you are. And a good team has a higher field goal percentage, successful percentage.
I like that this means evil teams take people's money.
Yes.
That's the thing. I wanted to point out that we have correlated good and evil according to gamblers' fortune.
DraftKings production.
This is like USC and Florida State are taking all your money.
So evil teams rack up a ton of penalties, don't cover, and miss their field goals. Good teams do the opposite of that.
3 here's out of 4, that's Florida, baby.
I can rock
here's the lawful chaotic metric. A chaotic team has more total turnovers per game from both teams. Takeaways, giveaways, I don't care. Just the total number of turnovers per game is higher. They also have a higher number of 30-plus yard plays from scrimmage. Theirs, the other teams, doesn't matter. Just big plays.
Okay.
And the more chaotic team will have a lower ratio of punts to fourth down attempts. So I can tell you, like, there are three teams in FBS that last year had more fourth down attempts than punts, or as many fourth down attempts as punts. So if you are a team that punts a lot more than you go for it on fourth down, you are more lawful than you are chaotic.
Okay.
So here's how this is going to work. You all get to pick. We're going to go in order where the first round, it's going to be Holly, Spencer, Jason. Holly, you are going to get to pick an alignment category. Lawful good, neutral good, chaotic good, lawful neutral, true neutral, chaotic neutral, lawful evil, neutral evil, chaotic evil.
Brian, I went to a science high school. You don't need to explain.
This is for the listener. The listener can play. So the listener can play along at home too. If you have a 20-sided die, you can play along with the game. Or
if you don't, frankly, you should be over at Split Zone Duo.
or you can Google roll 20-sided die.
Because they have extras, not because they don't have any.
And you can Google 20-sided die, and Google will just give you one virtually that you can roll. So, Holly, I need you to pick an alignment, and then you're going to roll your 20-sided die, and based on that, I'm going to tell you which team you get.
Lawful neutral sounds like Bama.
Okay.
And I would like to pick winners, but that doesn't sound entertaining at all, so I'm going chaotic neutral.
Chaotic neutral. Okay.
And you want me to roll now?
Yes, and I will let you know the results of your roll.
Okay. Chaotic neutral rolling 15.
Okay, with a 15, your chaotic neutral playoff team is Utah State.
It's going as well as last year. All right.
Honestly, I think that's a very good pick for you. I like this pick.
That's the meanest thing you've ever
done. The qualifier could be explained, Ryan.
because here's the thing, and I will peel back the curtain a little bit here. Had you rolled
said Utah, and I got so hype, and then you said the rest.
Had you in the chaotic neutral category? Had you rolled an 8-13, you would have gotten UCLA.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Had you rolled a 2-7, you would have gotten Virginia. And if you had rolled a 1, you would have gotten Arkansas State.
Okay, I feel okay with this.
That's your critical fail. The only thing you could have done better was a critical hit. If you had rolled a 20, you would have gotten Oklahoma.
Oh, I don't want that anyway.
So, listener, if you picked chaotic, if you're rolling chaotic neutral, that's what you get to pick. So, Spencer, you are next up.
I think you know where I'm going to go.
Yeah, but I think we're obligated to listen.
You have to say it.
Which chaotic?
Evil. We're going to do chaotic evil.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Predictable as whiskey.
Yeah.
Okay, so, again, you're going to... do you want me to tell you what you can get before you roll, or do you just want to roll?
No, I just want
to
roll.
I think it'd be funnier to tell him after.
The less I know, the better. I just hit 17.
Okay, with a 17, you've got Liberty, Spencer.
Wow.
Fuck!
I can't argue with the categorization here.
So
only
chaotic,
that I'm receiving it.
Chaotic evil is a very slim cat. Not that many teams in FBS categorize as chaotic evil. if you had managed to roll 20, you would have gotten Oregon State. With an 8-13, you would have gotten Kent State. With a 2-7, you would have gotten Tulane. And with a critical fail 1, you would have gotten Duke.
Sorry.
This is
Duke and
L.
Liberty are in the right category.
Duke football, hell yes, sure. Duke football.
It's a familiar position for me, though. I'm rooting against myself. And that
Go Gators.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this.
Jason, which category would you like to take?
Chaotic, obviously. And I'm here to make money chaotic good.
Okay. So we've used up all the chaotics. Spencer, you're going to get to double up later, but I'll explain it when we get to that. Jason, give me a roll that die.
I have rolled a 16.
Okay, with a 16, this is a great playoff so far that we've got going on. With a 16 in the chaotic good category, Jason, you have selected UTSA.
Me
as a playoff team. Your other options, the other outcomes you or the listener could have received with a role in the chaotic good category. Baylor is the critical hit, 20. East Carolina is 8-13. Hawaii is 2-7. And South Florida is a critical miss.
Okay.
At one.
All right, I feel fine about this. Hawaii would have been nice, but I feel fine about this.
All right, so now we're going to bump everybody up one spot in the rotation. So, Spencer, you go first in this round.
Okay, so I can select, let's see.
Any of the lawful or any of the of the neutral categories, except chaotic neutral.
Okay. I'm going to go complete polar opposite. I'm going to go lawful good.
Lawful good. Okay. Give me a roll, please.
And my roll... 11.
With an 11, you get Oklahoma State.
So far, I'm just collecting... I'm just collecting people who buy the products on the ACC network.
So, Spencer, you have the January 6th playoff so far.
Yeah, these are the January. So far, this playoff is being subpoenaed heavily.
Had you rolled a little worse, you would have gotten Navy in the 2-7 category. Had you rolled a little better, you would have gotten Iowa in the 14-19 range. Georgia is your critical hit here with 20. Illinois is your critical miss.
Oh, hey, it could have been so much worse.
So leave that on the board. Jason, you are next up.
So I have to take one that has not been taken?
Yes, you still have neutral, good, lawful neutral, true neutral, lawful
neutral.
Give
me true neutral. True neutral.
Okay, so true neutral, and everybody's going to get to do another true neutral after this. For this one, because there are a lot of true neutral teams, there are 20 possibilities here.
Wow.
So it's not a range, and it's not really sorted by, like, who I think deserves to go where. It's just here are 20 true neutral teams. So go ahead and give me your roll.
Okay. I rolled 14.
Central Michigan is who you have selected in the true neutral category.
Fire up, Chips.
But you're gonna get another true neutral roll here a little later, so don't worry.
Why would he be worried?
So far, our playoff contains five teams. Our different playoff contains five teams, one of which is a Power 5 team, and it's Oklahoma State. So I feel good about this so far. Holly.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to pick?
All right, let's go back to lawful neutral, because I don't care what the numbers say. I'm a vibes guy, and lawful neutral just feels like Bama to me. Let's see if I can get a winner out of this. Probably not.
Okay.
All right, rolling now. 5.
With a 5, Holly, you have selected Indiana.
Yes!
I sure have.
To the playoff.
I sure have.
That's probably not what you wanted.
What do you mean?
but the good news is we have another Power 5 team in here. Your other options in the lawful neutral category, had you failed this role, you would have gotten Auburn.
Lawful neutral?
Lawful neutral, yeah.
All right, I understand.
Had you had a critical hit here, you would have gotten Alabama. Had to put them at opposite ends. I felt that was the only right thing to do. A middle roll of 8-13 would have gotten you NC State, and a roll of 14-19 would have gotten you Texas A&M.
So NC State is in the middle of the middlest category? Oh, no,
correct.
Lawful neutral.
Correct.
This is an excellent system, Ryan.
Correct.
This checks out.
Okay. Jason, you're first up this round.
Let's hit true neutral again. Excited to see what's in there.
No, I'm going to make you say
okay.
True neutral.
So it has to cool down.
So the other categories that we have not done. We haven't done lawful evil.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right. Roll. Give me a 13.
Okay. With a 13 in lawful evil. You just missed out on getting Mississippi State. They're the 14-19 candidate.
Okay.
Instead, you've selected UCF.
Hey.
I don't know why that's funny.
I'll take it over Mississippi State.
Had you crit failed, you would have gotten New Mexico with a 1. With a 20,
God.
You would have gotten San Diego State.
Ah, fuck.
And with a 2-7, you would have gotten Arizona State.
That is a crew right there.
Yeah. Lawful Evil was a somewhat limited crew as well, I believe.
But it's a hell of a bachelor party weekend.
I believe.
Dream blunt rotation.
Holly, I think you are the last one.
Okay.
To pick, I'm trying to look through and see what we haven't done here.
It neutral evil? Did I hear that?
I think it is neutral evil, yeah. I think neutral evil is last, and then Spencer gets to double up, and then everybody's going to get to do a true neutral. But yes, neutral evil is
neutral evil she is. All right. Roll up. 19.
Wow.
Holly,
Something's going to go wrong here.
Holly, you just missed out on Oregon.
Son of a...
Oregon would have been your 20 roll here. Here's I'm going to tell you who you missed out on.
What
on the
happened
low
instead,
end.
Ryan?
I'm going to tell you who you missed out on the low end before I reveal who you've gotten.
Okay.
The fail candidate here is FIU. Hmm. I don't think you wanted them. The 2-7 is Florida. I know you didn't want them.
Oh.
8-13 is Maryland.
That's problem in a different way. Yep.
Holly, you've selected the Tennessee Volunteers.
Shut up! No! I rebuke this.
The neutral evil Tennessee Vols.
What? Oh, when, Lord? When's going to be my time? Wow. Wow.
All right. Spencer, before we move on to the true neutral off.
Something funny.
Okay, so to review, before Spencer makes his third pick, Holly has Utah State, Indiana, and Tennessee. Jason has UTSA, Central Michigan, and UCF.
Dear God.
Just nothing but multi-directional here.
17 people will watch my playoff.
And Spencer, you're sitting on Liberty and Oklahoma State. You can pick any category other so you can't double up one you've already picked. You've already picked Chaotic Evil and Lawful Good, and you're going to get another true neutral, so don't pick that. But any other category that we've touched, you can pick here.
But don't we want to make it so Spencer can add Duke to that group?
Yeah, hold on. Let me ask Q what my pick is here.
Harvard?
Okay, I'm going to...
Sorry.
I'm going to go ahead and pick... I can pick Chaotic Good, correct?
Yes.
We don't
have enough to do this exactly right, so he gets to double up. Okay, gotcha. So you want another Chaotic Good. The only thing... Well, no. We'll, if you get UTSA, you can both have UTSA. It's nice to have friends. So
I'll re-roll.
Okay, sure. Okay. If you get a 14-19, re-roll because that's already spoken.
Don't need to re-roll. I keep hitting 11th, man.
East Carolina is your team.
Oh, man. Combo breaker.
Yeah, so now you've got Liberty, Oklahoma State, East Carolina. We are now down to the last round where everybody's going to get to do a true neutral dice roll. And for this one, I would like all three of you to roll at the same time. And assuming it's not a team you already have, I'm fine if we have ties here.
All right. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Roll.
Got Holly, in trouble. Holly, what did you, Holly, what did you roll? Okay.
18.
God. Holly, you have Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is your fourth. I'm not.
Just like we drew it up.
You have somehow a playoff that has Vanderbilt and Tennessee and Indiana. Utah State looks better and better as your
pick. Mm-hmm.
Really three of my playoff teams could be taken out with one hydrogen bomb.
And Utah State's the one to build it. Spencer, what did you roll?
Oh, y'all are in trouble. I rolled a 2.
Oh.
Spencer, with a 2, you have Cal.
That is correct.
As your fourth team.
This is quite a political spectrum you have.
The Cal Liberty semifinal is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Just I have, so let's see, just to recap, yeah. I have, let's see.
Sorry, I don't have an MP3 of playing Forward to Zion.
I have.
Liberty?
I have
for you there, buddy.
Two different varieties of fascist.
Uh-huh.
Right? I have.
Pirates.
Yeah. And then I have Cal.
Cal. Yep.
Yeah. Cal. Okay.
Jason, what did you roll?
A mere 7.
With a 7, Jason, you've gotten the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yes.
Going to the playoffs.
Yes. All right.
So, Jason.
So I have Scott Frost against UCF.
Uh huh. And UTSA against Central Michigan.
All right. I'm good with this.
For the listener, in case you wanted to make a true neutral roll, here's who you could have. Here's, I'll read off everybody. A 1 gets you Army. A 2 gets you Cal. A 3 gets you Cincinnati. 4, Florida State. 5, Kansas State. 6, Miami. 7, Nebraska. 8, Ohio State. 9, Pitt. 10, Texas. 11, UAB. 12, Utah. 13, Wisconsin. 14, Central Michigan. 15, Fresno State. 16, Penn State. 17, Washington. 18, Vanderbilt. 19, Louisiana Monroe. I don't think Holly would have rather had Louisiana Monroe. But
no, I suppose not.
And 20, Wyoming.
Ryan, I hate you. This is a great game.
So, listen. I know last time we did swaps and trades, but this year, not this. I'm gonna. This year, I promise, I'm gonna track it. We're gonna see.
What are your playoff teams?
I'm the Dungeon Master. I don't have any playoff teams.
Nice try. Nice try.
I got the field. Y'all got these 12.
So we each get to pick one of our teams that's Ryan's team.
Yeah.
You know what? That's fine. You can assign me one of your 4 teams.
Ryan, you're joining me in Nebraska fandom.
Okay.
Ryan, right. You're picking up Vanderbilt fandom because they're your hometown.
Okay, great. Spencer, who are you assigning me?
To curse you and absolutely give you the
worst.
Why
does your brain automatically go there?
No, it's the right choice.
I'm going to go ahead and give you Texas Tech.
One of your teams.
Oh okay. Well, I'm going to give you Texas Tech.
You only had the example of 2 or 3 people going before him.
What?
Nothing.
One of your teams. You don't have Texas Tech. You have Oklahoma State.
Oh, I'm giving you Liberty. Fuck Liberty. Okay. I don't even want it as a joke.
All right, you still have them. I'm just stuck in that boat with you. And I will roll 120 sided from the true neutral and see who I pick up to add to it. No, it was Cal. That's already taken. Okay, I have Wyoming. Wyoming is my 4th team. So fine. I have Nebraska, Vandy, Liberty, Wyoming. I have just as stupid a playoff as all of you. I'm not any better. I'm not any smarter.
I mean this. Are any of us going to get a single team from this in?
No.
Like, I don't think in, like... Holly is the only one who stands...
Don't say that.
What?
I'm uncomfortable.
No one from mine is going.
What?
Who are you for again?
Tennessee, Indiana, Vanderbilt, Utah State.
Okay.
Oklahoma State, Spencer.
This is a hard no all around.
Yeah.
The thing That's is, I put...
Oklahoma State's going to rank... They're going to do what they always do. They rank like 7th until like October.
Everybody's good at something.
The thing is, I put like other... I put other like... reasonable teams in here.
Mm-hmm.
So
we
it could have
opted out of absolutely all of them.
Yeah. I think we didn't do neutral good. That's the one we didn't do.
I want to put.
So you know what, Spencer? I'm going to do you a favor. If you want to swap Liberty for a neutral good role, you can do that right now.
I do have one thing I want to point out about Oklahoma State first that I just looked up and want to share with you.
Yeah.
So, Jason, you bring up the point that they get up to like 8th and then they fall off. Do you think that usually happens around October? Like end of October?
Sometimes it happens in November.
Okay. I think this is a very interesting point because Oklahoma deer season starts October 1st. And the muzzleloader season begins the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And firearms run November 20th through the 5th. Archery starts October 1st and is open. All I'm saying is that once bow hunting is open, in the state of Oklahoma, Oklahoma State football starts to slide, brother.
As soon as, like, snake bow hunting, that's when cowboy football becomes number two.
It's really blowgun season. Once blowgun season on deer.
Once it's varmint biting season.
Mm-hmm. Hey, snake blow hunting is a great quarterback prospect.
People don't know this, but Mike Gundy hasn't even been at several games in November because, you know.
Well, yeah, he was storming the Capitol.
I think
they weren't playing in January. What am I thinking?
Snake blowgun hunting is a particularly devastating way to kill a snake. You're killing it by, like, pretending to be a snake.
Oh, yeah, it's a live by the sword, die by the sword.
Oh, that's way harsh, Ty.
If you bit a snake to death, it would just be sitting there going, huh.
So that's what that feels like.
I guess I should have been more considerate.
I'll change my ways.
That is now my dream, to strangle an anaconda to death.
Oh my
irony!
God.
With your thighs. Just because.
Well, that's Spencer, direction.
Spencer, I do want you to roll one more. I want to swap your liberty for a neutral good team since I fucked that up and we didn't do it.
All right,
girl,
here we go.
I want to swap your liberty.
14.
This is perfect. Spencer, liberty's not your problem anymore. Notre Whew. Dame is.
You got granddad liberty.
you could have had Michigan with a 28-13 would have been Air Force, 2-7 would have been Boston College, and 1 would have been Bowling Green. Instead,
you got the original liberty.
Liberty heavy.
I got liberty heavy, dang it.
Green liberty, Irish liberty, Indiana liberty.
Oh, Christ.
Ryan, can I swap CMU in that case?
I
find their views problematic.
I know I said I wouldn't do this. You can swap.
Can I
them.
Swap?
No. Holly says.
Michigan should not be central in
Let's
any way.
Jason, you can.
Boy, if I wanted Irish Liberty, I'd radio edit.
You can pick a. What category feels right to you?
Give me more chaotic good.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a chaotic good roll.
See if I double up. 6.
You can have a Y instead of a CMU.
Yes! Yes! Thank you.
I think your chances are not any better at this point. That's fine. Okay,
but the bowl selection committee will have a much better time.
So, to review, and this is now final.
This is whole shit.
Holly, you have Utah State.
This is cyberbullying.
Indiana, Tennessee.
It's only funny when I do it.
And Vanderbilt. We
love it when Indiana and Tennessee play each other.
Purdue loosened the jar. You don't get credit, Indiana.
As if we needed bigger stakes for Hawaii and Vanderbilt in week 0. But Holly and Jason going head to open the season.
A playoff eliminator.
A chance for a quality win.
All right, let's do it.
Jason's got
Where is that game? Is it in Nashville?
It's in Hawaii.
Oh, no.
What the fuck is wrong with
this? This is Vanderbilt's game.
Vandy's going a whole week early.
Desire for a chicken bet decreasing.
Is Vandy going a whole week early?
That's what they told us at Media Days. Yeah, they're going
You damn right they are.
For acclimation. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. Hashtag business trip.
That's business trip.
Vandy's going to cosplay their entire way through White Lotus Season 1 before they even get there. Which parts? Mind your business.
So, Jason,
on this is Vandy by a touchdown.
Jason,
what?
That's what it says.
Holly, you're doing great.
I don't like it when you say my name anymore.
I'm sorry.
It used to perk me up like an animal that only understands sounds.
I'm sorry. Jason, you've got UTSA, Hawaii, UCF, Nebraska.
Yeah, according
Spencer.
To SP Plus, it should be a pick 'em. So I'll take that.
Spencer, you've got Cal, East Carolina, Notre Dame.
All right, Ryan, last ditch effort.
And Oklahoma State. Yeah.
Last ditch effort.
Yeah.
Can I swap out Indiana if I promise to take Auburn?
No. It has to be a roll, Holly. It has to be a roll. But if you want, you can. I will let you swap out Indiana for you can roll for a lawful good team. I'll give you that. All
right, rolling 9.
It's Oklahoma State. Do you want that?
Oof.
No.
That increases your playoff odds, but
Nope.
Okay. All right. So you're sticking with Indiana.
I guess. Tyler.
You have a very good a real home field lineup.
Of you a do.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's good.
Bad football, good t-shirts.
Yeah.
Great t-shirt.
Utah State's good at football. Don't lump them in with that.
Wait, what
the
if
rest
I take,
of these teams?
What if I take Florida State?
No, absolutely. Oh,
come
not.
On, I'm trying to think of absolutely entertaining teams not. That I can take that aren't Indiana, which is not interesting to me this year.
Okay, I will give you one more true neutral roll. All
right.
But it has to be a team that's not that hasn't been picked.
Five.
You can have Kansas State.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'll swap you out.
Interesting.
Kansas. Connor,
you.
Sorry.
Oh, all shit. Right. Sorry,
so,
Connor.
So you have Utah State, Kansas State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt.
I love my playoff boys.
Uh-huh. I can tell you mean that.
I'm now, I will say this. The bad thing about Notre Dame is having Notre Dame's good thing. I might actually have a playoff team.
I will tweet this out at some point, so if you
want
to catch
like
up.
Feels like the first time. Sorry, Ryan.
And you want to roll your own playoff four, go for it. There is a way. You have to roll very well, and you have to pick the right categories.
Yeah, that's
but
the
you,
problem.
You can get, like, a legit playoff out of this. Just none of us did.
Kind of like in actual football. Mm-hmm.
So if you roll all 20s, you're getting pretty much a likely playoff.
Yeah, I'd say so. There are a couple.
I rolled 19, and that's how I ended up with Tennessee.
But the 20s were all. The 20s were all. I recall Alabama,
mostly,
Oregon.
Mostly like the 20 in Lawful Evil, San Diego State.
Oh,
Chaotic Evil's super thin, so it's Oregon State.
So it depends right, on it depends on not only the situation, the position of
yes.
the team within the category, but the position of the category within the overall
correct.
Spectrum.
Correct.
Okay.
I would also like to point out that now Jason and I have to pay attention to the Nebraska Northwestern game in Ireland. That matters for us. So
no problem there.
So fuck me.
What is that at like 7 a.m. or something?
It's at 11:30 Eastern.
I love it.
Can I swerve for a second into an actual football thing that's been biting my brain since
Let's
last week's hand in the dirt? I don't know if Cerber's listening right now. But I wondered if you guys could heat check me on something.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee National Championship? Yes, think it's happening.
Your brain is going to feel like 98, by which I mean it's going to be in 98 pieces when I peel you apart and eat individual lobes like grapes.
I knew I was like Ray Liotta. I knew it.
You know who was eating? The Osborne brothers. I'll stop.
Go balls.
About to take your side in something, dickwag.
It'll be really funny if Tennessee wins the national championship this year. Admittedly.
Tend to agree.
Tony, why would you do that to me? My father might listen to this. You're trying to kill my dad.
Just look at it. Like, Tennessee's up by 23, and there's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the national championship game for the
like
playoff.
This.
And Holly is sitting there going, "You sons of bitches. You motherfuckers.
What do you think we were doing in the last title game?
You're going to fuck this up."
They usually fuck this up.
Holly's texting me. I fucking hate you, Ryan.
So it's that time of year where actual college football talk radio comes back online, which means it's the time of year on Hand in the Dirt where Hartzell starts saying absolutely insane things.
Yes.
And Cerber and Felder have to then beat him back into submission with swords and plowshares. And this week's Felder's been bringing up a very good point and that he and I have been talking about lately, which is that Georgia's offense, we believe, is being overrated headed into this year because Georgia lost an entire first round of the NFL draft on defense, and there might be moments in time in the offense this year where Georgia might have to play from behind or not have a short field.
Like against Tennessee, maybe?
Oh, no, I'm not talking. No. Come on, man.
That's what you get for saying there's a time of year that Hartzell does this shit, and it's not just 365.
I'm
free.
On your side.
You were a little bit of a heartbeat in the way you phrased it, though.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what? Never mind.
You were the chosen one.
Never mind. Never mind.
So more the South Carolina game.
What? Yeah. Do you think this? Do you have a place in mind where you think this is going to rear
its
head? Okay.
Kentucky.
Yes. No. You know what? When it comes up, I'll let you know.
I haven't looked at
this. Mississippi State.
This is not me. This is not me looking ahead to a trap game on the future schedule. This is actually me looking back.
Okay.
I'm going to ask a question that's going to sound really stupid, and I know that's a new experience for all of you. So I just want you to brace yourselves. Did anybody watch the Georgia-Mizzou game last year? Like the first 20 minutes of it?
Wasn't that the particularly horrible one?
Not right away.
Georgia Vanderbilt was
or Georgia
really
Arkansas, but
Georgia Arkansas.
I mean, all of them. But so
Georgia Mizzou. I remember the spread was like 40 points. That's
okay.
All I
so Georgia Mizzou was really interesting for like 15 minutes last year, and the only reason I remember this is because I don't actually know what possessed me to watch that game that day. I must have been waiting for something else to come on. But it has stuck in my head listening to all these, well, we're going to have to watch Georgia's offense play, you know, play out of rhythm this year. And they have Bennett, Stetson Bennett, and they have their tight ends. But we don't know what we don't know. And this is an offense that it kind of reminds me of the Bama of old in that they're in that stage of development where when you get them off of their scripts, they tweak. So I don't know why I remember this, but go back to the first quarter of Georgia-Mizzou last year. And the reason that this is interesting is because Mizzou was like down to their third string freshman quarterback or was rotating quarterbacks or something. And for the first, like the operating point being for the first like quarter of the game, you got to watch Georgia playing against a team that they didn't have tape on. Playing against players they didn't have tape on. Now, it was really interesting because you could watch their development happen in real time like Predator, because their defenders, these, you know, the most talented defenders in the country, were coming off the line like, oh shit, oh he's going over there, oh skitter, skitter, skitter. And they would like run sideways and you know, their superior talent would then swarm and they would bring the guy down. And it only took them like a period to adjust to this, right? And then after that, they were like, oh, nyeow, 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 nyeow. And the final score was something horrific. I don't even remember.
43-6. I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
But watching, it was maybe the only time last year in the regular season that we got to watch them operate out of rhythm. And I am wondering if that augurs for, I'm wondering if we think they still have the depth to play catch up, that to play like cognitive catch up that quickly in individual games. Does that make sense?
I think that's
where I was trying to go like 15 minutes ago. So thank you.
My only quibble with it is I'm not sure.
This is a heat check because I genuinely don't know. I want you to quibble with it.
I think that makes sense. I am not sure. I mean, yeah, they play Oregon to open the season, but like they should be well.
I'm not sure it's going to show up at Oregon. Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to show up at Oregon. Like week one games are so. I don't know that you can ascribe much to week one games anyway, because nobody knows what they're doing.
Right. So I'm just not sure who else it would be because their West opponents this year are Auburn and Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, maybe Mississippi State, and then their other non-conference games are Samford, Kent State, and the Georgia Tech game.
So back up for a second and look at week three.
South Carolina.
I didn't really have one in mind until you asked if I was looking ahead. Is it there?
If South Carolina beats Georgia.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
No. Yeah, I know. But if they do, the contract extension that they're going to hand that man is going to be.
I mean, don't get me wrong. This would be hysterical, and I'm rooting for it at this very moment. But I am wondering where the points are along Georgia's arc this season, because you know, as they said on Hand in the Dirt this week, like this season is Georgia's actual test, right? Not last season. It's this season. It's can you reload?
Right.
and not rebuild. And I'm wondering where we might be able to see Georgia learning on the job in these little capsules like we got to see in the first quarter of Mizzou last year. And that's really the only one in like the front half of the season where it looks like maybe they could afford to game out for them that far ahead of time.
So the only other permutation that I think might play out in that realm is what desperate coach or program is like, we're going to build a whole package and just hold it just to fuck with Georgia.
Georgia Tech's done this before.
This is not out of the realm of possibility. And the only thing that makes me think it might not be South Carolina is that South Carolina has Arkansas the week before.
Like, I kind of hope it's Auburn. I kind of hope Auburn is just like, fuck it. We're calling what Penn State and LSU losses already.
Oh, that's right.
Just book them. Take them.
The schedule is weird on them, too, because Georgia gets Auburn in like week six this year, right? Yes. You don't have them at the end of the year. Oh, I hate that.
Yes. They have them right after they host LSU.
I'm sorry to talk about football, especially in our playoff episode, but like I woke up thinking about the Georgia-Mizzou game, and that's how I know it's almost fall.
No, I hope, I don't know who it will be, Auburn, Tennessee, whoever. I do hope there is one program that is just like part of our goal this year is just to try to fuck with Georgia.
I know.
Yeah, we want to win the division and blah blah blah.
I don't think Heupel is SEC enough to be spiteful like that.
It's not that. I don't think it
has anything to do with that. I don't think that staff enough as a whole is SEC enough to be spiteful like that.
I think it's just the way they play. I think Tennessee is one of those teams that will come out and put up 21 and then not put up another point till late in the fourth.
Or not.
Because Heupel's one of those offensive guys who's like, I have 15 genius plays that they're not anticipating.
Do you know what it reminds me of, honestly, is, and I mean, this is not a huge leap, but watching Jeff Tedford out-genius himself at Cal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he would completely, they would, like the first three or four series, sometimes the defense facing what they do on offense has no clue what they're looking at. Additionally, you can make a mistake because it's one of those offenses that puts you into man coverage. And if you're facing a defense that just likes to line up in man and guard people one-on-one, sometimes people get beat one-on-one, especially on big-ass jump balls down the field. It happens. So I could see that happening and then see Georgia, like, crush their way back into it.
Because that's what, like, they had such there was such a talent differential between them and Mizzou last year that even when they were completely on their heels at every snap, which they were for a lot of that first quarter, they could then make up for it with, because they have N'Kobe Dean who can teleport. Right?
So here's now why I want to reverse course on the week one game. Mm. The thing I forgot. Oregon has a new coach, Dan Lanning, who knows that Georgia roster and knows what they're going to do. So if there is somebody and they won't, like, they're not going to have any tape on Dan Lanning's Oregon.
Right.
If there is somebody positioned to say, okay, I know where the thermal exhaust port is and what to shoot at it. Maybe it's Oregon. They're like, I'm totally jinxing it. They're going to lose by 20 now. But.
No, the person jinxing it would be Stephen Hartzell, who said Oregon doesn't have a player who could make Georgia's roster. Wow. A real thing he said out loud on the podcast this week, which is what got me thinking about this.
What were you going to say, Server?
I just, like, there is no one on Georgia's offense that strikes fear.
Brock Bowers.
Not even the tight ends?
No.
Lad.
Oh, no, that's Lad, incorrect.
Brock Bowers? He's very good, but Stetson Bennett is throwing him the football.
You don't need a whole lot. I could probably get, like, three receptions to Brock Bowers.
Okay, like Kyle Pitts was like very amazing at Florida, but, like, how successful were they?
But, I mean, throwing to Brock is like throwing to not the broad side of a barn, but throwing to the narrow side of a barn.
Okay, but then also, like, if that's your guy, all right, and is there anyone else that, like, you think if someone locks him down, which is possible if he's the only person you have to worry about, if there's not a running game to speak of.
If only Georgia had another tight end.
Stetson Bennett is the running game, my dude. Watch the wheels. Watch the wheels.
A lot of people have talked about the Georgia defense and like having to reload, that's not the problem.
I want to be wrong about that. No, and that's what started this whole thing up. I agree with you that the Georgia offense is very possibly being overrated because we have never had to see that, because none of this is all contextual. The offense exists as a function of what the defense is able to do and vice versa. But we have never seen Georgia's offense play minus a flotilla of the best players the program has ever seen.
Also, why are we talking?
I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm saying we don't know, and there's no way of knowing.
I mean, I half agree with you, Serber, because Georgia's offense isn't as good as I think people are hyping it up, and that is because they don't have to be that good, and they're not designed to be that good. I think they pick their spots, they pick their places, but they're largely there to burn clock and run the ball because Georgia still has Jalen Carter on the defensive line.
Hey, who's that?
Yeah, he's one of the best defensive linemen in the nation, and he's probably going to go first in the NFL draft. And he was awesome last year. He just couldn't go pro. That's like when you go back and you go, well, yeah, Georgia has to reload. Cool, they got ammo. They got enough. They got rounds for you.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm not sure we can know that yet.
Also, we have to get our first taste of this.
Also, I'm really sorry once again for backing us into an actual football argument.
No, I like when we trick the listener by burying the football conversation at the end of the episode.
This is only because Hand in the Dirt. I was listening to Hand in the Dirt this morning when Stephen Hartzell said, and I quote, "Oregon doesn't have a player that can make Georgia's roster."
Speaking of known quantities, by the way. We get to see all of this for the first time against a quarterback who I can safely say is the most known quantity in college football. I know exactly what I'm going to get when I watch Bo Nix.
The most known unknown, I believe we should call.
That is correct.
Bo Nix in Atlanta.
I know Bo Nix has four incredible completions and two good scrambles.
And Georgia knows that
else
too.
In between. Yeah, Georgia knows that as well.
Like imagine they realize that, right? Coming down off the title high, next
George's
football
like,
game
oh,
to play
this
is
song.
Against Bo fucking Nix.
We'll
probably win, but it'll be so much work. But
I've asked this before. Do we retroactively need to re-rate Gus's entire tenure?
Yeah.
Under the Bo Nix heading.
I mean, I think the subsequent coach is another piece of information there.
Mm.
Gus survived that long there?
Uh-huh.
I do think, speaking of, the funniest team to spring a lay a trap for Georgia and then turn it into a contract extension, of course, would be Auburn.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Yeah.
It's mostly because it's like, you've done this before. Why are you doing this again, Auburn? Why are you making
Stop
the same
that.
Mistakes?
It's bad for you. Doc, it hurts. It's that dad joke. Doc, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that.
I lost all my money in crypto, and that's why I'm buying more crypto.
I bought the wrong crypto.
The wrong crypto. The Auburn Tigers football story.
The Harsin floor is here. That means you should get in because it's the ground floor. That's it. Get in because this ship's about to take off, y'all. Where's it going? Never you
space.
Mind.
I really thought you were about to slip into McConaughey, and I'm glad you didn't.
Who will, like, let's assume Brian Harsin gets fired in the middle of the year because that's the funnier thing to do. Who on that that coaching roster is stepping up to fill that void?
It's all Boise guys at this point, right?
I believe so.
Pretty sure he's done the purge, yeah.
Like, Killiard's the wide receivers coach. Cadillac is the running backs coach and recruiting coordinator.
Where's Kevin Steele? Where's Kevin Steele right now?
I feel like we talked about this recently, and I can't remember. I think he's at Miami.
I don't feel safe not knowing.
Yeah, he's the co-DC at Miami.
Okay, so that's not too far. Okay.
He gets to play home games in the Orange Bowl, where his career completely fell apart. The third time?
In the shell of the Orange Bowl. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, there's... I know who's
stepping up. It's Cadillac, right?
I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Cadillac. It doesn't matter. When you're in that kind of
Never
a situation
mind,
and you're
this.
At Auburn, they're going to run home to family. They're going to be like, "Hey, he was waiting all along." Carnell Williams.
Zach Etheridge.
Walkout music's going to be Vanessa Williams, Save the Best for Last.
Zach Etheridge, who is on the 2010 team, is also, he's an associate head coach, so he's also, yeah, it's just, I hope they've, this is what I hope. I hope they've had that conversation amongst themselves without Brian Harsin in the room and be like, hey, if they come to us, and they're going to come to us, who's taking the reins? Because that's going to suck, and you need to, we need to be prepared to support one. Maybe they rotate. Maybe it's just like a weekly, hey, this week, it's you.
Sister it's Wives you. Of the Plains.
This Make-A-Wish child is coaching the Iron Bowl.
No, listen, we all just paused because we were imagining Auburn fans booing kids with cancer, right? That's where everybody went, right? I just want to confirm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Alabama fans being like, you ain't got it.
Faker.
Faker.
Coach Crisis Actor.
Yeah.
He's trying to slow down our offense.
That's it. Pity. Trying to weigh us down with pity. We still going to run a 4-3-5.
I thought it was coaches versus cancer. Y'all switched teams. Look at that.
It's going to be Al from Deadville before this season's over.